Amen, amen.
So good evening. Hi. So my name is Pete. I am an elder in Sunningdale PM for Josh Chen. So usually at this time, I'm meeting in Sunningdale. They were kind enough to release me to be here with you guys tonight, which is super exciting. I've had the joy of visiting 15 previously of our 25 congregations. So this is number 16, but usually I don't get to visit the PM ones because I'm in Sunningdale. So it's a special treat to be with you tonight and share something the Lord has placed on my heart. And even during worship, even in hearing the words, just to see that, yeah, God wants to do something tonight. So I'm super, super excited. And one of the first things that you may notice as I continue to speak is my thick Afrikaans accent. It's baie lekker. It's so thick that you may actually think it's from another country, perhaps America. And if you are thinking that, you are correct. I used to be American, but I do now consider myself to be South African. Hallelujah, yes. And one of the reasons why is because God, in his gracious kindness and love, sent my now wife, Sue Marie, from South Africa to America, to San Diego, California, to sweep me off my feet and forever change my life. I do have a picture of our family. So that's our 2-year-old daughter, Ariel. I think, oh, they're over there. Say hi, say hi. She always steals the show. It's okay. I'm okay with that. But I have to admit, it was a bit of a process pursuing Sue Marie. You see, she had decided to go to America for 2 years, 2-year limit. She had no desire to immigrate there. In fact, her mom, when she dropped Sue Marie off at the airport, looked her straight in the eyes and said, "Promise me that you won't marry an American and never come back." And Sue Marie, being the amazing daughter she is, said, "I promise, Mom." We're back, at least. Married, but we are back. So, as I pursued Sue Marie, she was very direct. She told me that I needed to be open to moving to South Africa. And if not, I should just go find myself another woman. And she pretty much just laid it out like that. And me being the godly man that I am, I said, of course, I'm open to moving to a country I know virtually nothing about and have never been to. And that was honest. I was open to it. But I did say that we're not going to go just because you miss your family. Like, I truly need to believe that the Lord is leading us there. And by God's grace, she accepted that answer, chose me to be her husband, and 4.5 years ago, we got married, which is very exciting. And then sure enough, 7 months later, out of the blue, one Sunday, the Lord started to speak to me and gave me this impression. I basically felt the Lord saying, "I want you to move to Cape Town, South Africa, and I want you to lead a discipleship program there." And I know it was the Lord, because nowhere in my own human thinking could I possibly come up with that idea. I was just like 99% terrified at the idea and maybe 1% excited, because I felt completely unqualified. I had been saved at that point less than 5 years. I had actually just graduated from a discipleship program, similar to a TMT. But it's one thing to actually be a student in a program. It's a whole other thing to be have the Lord say, go to the other side of the world and lead something there. But the Lord, again, in his grace, he started to renew my mind, to ask the correct question. See, I was asking the wrong question. I was asking, who am I to go do this? And the Lord showed me the right question is, who is he? What can he do through my willful obedience, through his Holy Spirit within me, through taking one step of faith as he guides me along the way? And as he started to show me how I should be thinking and put my eyes on him versus myself, I reached a point where I was 51% excited and 49% terrified. And that was at that point that I actually decided to tell my wife. And now I'm kind of excited, because she always wanted to go back to South Africa. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell her God's calling us to South Africa. She's going to shower me with hugs and kisses. I mean, every husband wants that. So I'm excited. So I tell her, and I get the exact opposite reaction that I thought I was going to get. She shut down completely, acted weirder than she ever had our entire relationship for a whole week. So now I'm just completely confused. So finally I ask her, what's going on? And she began to ask question after question after question of what it's going to look like down the road. And honestly, I couldn't answer over 90% of them. And I told her, I honestly don't have the answers to your questions, but I do trust that God will give us the answers. He'll give us what we need as we take one step of faith at a time and just trusting him. And that night, as she was lying in bed, she felt the Lord show something to her. And the Lord revealed to her that she'd gotten comfortable in San Diego, where we were living. Comfortable with the location, comfortable with the home, comfortable with the life, the friends, the church, all of it. And God, he's so graceful. He actually said to her, you can have your life of comfort and I'll still bless it. He said, or you can go on an adventure with me. And she was convicted to the heart. And she said, Lord, of course I want to go on an adventure with you. And then she was all in from that point. And it began this beautiful journey where about a year and a half ago, we moved here. I left behind the only country that I ever knew, armed with 6 suitcases of clothes and baby toys, and just trusting God with the rest. But what's so beautiful now, being able to stand here a year and a half later, after just taking that step of faith, seeing what he's done in just a year and a half, I was sharing with Rob, it just blows me away. Just first of all, the revelation he's given us of him through his word and through our time with him has just rapidly accelerated as soon as we put our feet down on South Africa soil. I almost wonder why he wouldn't do it earlier, but then I also wonder maybe he's just rewarding our step of faith. But it's been just so beautiful to grow with him since we took that step of faith. Moving here, we knew one couple in Cape Town who they're actually visiting and joining us tonight, so thank you for coming, guys. We knew one couple in Cape Town, so one of our prayers was, Lord, like if you want us to do anything of significance, we need people to come around us that share our passion and devotion and love for you. And what does he do? He guides me to Josh Jen, people that are just devoted to the Lord, devoted to one another. So now I'm surrounded with so many like-minded people that just love the Lord, answered prayer. And then he started giving me opportunities. I mean, I figured I'd come here and it would just take a while before anyone would trust to put a microphone in my hand. I mean, I couldn't believe how quickly that happened. So even just to be here sharing with you, to be an elder in the church in less than 1 year, it's only God. But I had to say, yes, Lord, like, I couldn't see all the way down there. I had to trust him. And with all the questions that were in the back of my mind, just take that step of faith and let him guide my steps one step at a time so he could lead me where he wanted to lead us. And so this evening, the question that I want to ask each and every one of you is, where is God leading you? So here, right now, this point, this season in your life, where is God leading you? You know, last week, Johan summarized some of the amazing things that God has done in and through this congregation. And it's so important for us to take the time and remember and praise the Lord for what he's done, for who he is. So I hope that you've reflected on 2019, not just as a church, not just as a congregation, but as an individual as well, with an overflowing heart of thankfulness towards him, but also learning from this past year and prayerfully seeking where does he want to guide you this coming year, seeking his guidance on who he wants you to be into this coming year, seeking his guidance on how he wants you to relate to others in this coming year, seeking his guidance on what he wants you to be giving the activity of your life towards. Because here we are, we're 2 weeks into a new year, 2020. Some say we're 2 weeks into a new decade. And there's something about when the calendar changes that we can get this sense of hope, of excitement, of an expectation. An excitement that this year, things are going to be better. This year, things are going to be easier. This year, it's all going to come together. This year, it's going to be different. This year, the prophetic words are going to come to pass. And we're also coming out of the summer holiday season that everyone looks forward to, that time to hopefully rest a little bit from work, to spend more time with our loved ones, to possibly get away to other parts of the country and the world. And like every year, New Year's Eve came, and then it went. And the new year is here. And my wife and I, we had lunch together on New Year's Day, and she made an observation, and it's obvious, but it's worth saying. She said, it doesn't really feel like a new year. I look around, and everything, the weather is pretty much the same. Everything around me is still pretty much the same. There wasn't this massive shift around us just when the calendar changed. And then before you know it, it's the middle of January. kids are back in school, work schedule's back to normal, and you look around and you realize that everything around you pretty much looks the same as it did last year. And I wonder, as we've entered this new year, have you made any changes to what you're going to choose to do on a daily basis? Or have you changed what you're going to focus on each and every day? Or were you just hoping that it would look different this year because the calendar changed? Hoping that those few weeks off would make all of the difference until your next holiday. Hoping that the circumstances around you would change dramatically as the calendar changed, and then everything would be good. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. In the midst of life and all of the busyness, all of the distraction that surrounds us each and every day, we can so easily get caught in a rut, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And we can just go through the same motions over and over, hoping and praying that our circumstances around us will dramatically change. And then we can be joyous. Then we can be grateful. And our God, he's so graceful and merciful. He's an awesome God. He may just do that. He may change all the circumstances around you and bless you in such an incredible way that you can't help but just praise him and be thankful. He may do that. He's an awesome God. But I also know that when we look at Scripture, we clearly see that he also may not do that. Or, more specifically, we see that the way that he chooses to do it might not look the way that we want it or the way that we expect it to look. And why do I say that? I look at a scripture like Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And it reminds us that his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And you see, God wants to lead you somewhere. He doesn't want you to stay in the same place. And he doesn't want you to stay the same person that you were yesterday or that you were in 2019. And this morning, I want to take a closer look at a few verses in a well-known psalm, Psalm 23. We're going to be looking at the first three verses in Psalm 23. So beginning in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I want to begin in verse 1 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And specifically, I want to look at those first two words, the Lord. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's undeniable. Jesus Christ is Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, we're reminded of what Christ did on the cross and the results that came from his death. Speaking of Christ, it says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Christ is Lord. But the question is, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? Today, right here, right now, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? It's one of the most important questions that you'll ever grapple with and answer in your life. And if we were having a conversation over coffee, I might ask you that question, and you might look at me and you might say, of course, Pete, I'm a Christian. My parents went to church, and I just grew up that way. Or you might tell me how you were in church one day and you prayed a prayer and you acknowledged Jesus Christ is Lord. And I say, wow, that's great to hear. But I'm also curious. Tell me about your life this past year. Tell me about your life in 2019. Tell me about where you spent your time this past year. What were the activities that were most important to you this past year? Tell me about what was your mind focused on this past year? What thoughts dominated your thinking this past year? Tell me, what types of conversation came out of your mouth this year? How did you speak to and how did you speak about others? Tell me, where did you spend your money this year? Who and what did you spend your money on this past year? And as you told me about this past year, would it be obvious to me from the way that you lived your life this past year that you do, in fact, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, and that you've made a decision to follow him with everything that you are and everything that you do? Would it be obvious to me from the way you lived your life this past year? If you've seen the movie Do You Believe, there was a character in the movie who was an EMT, and he got to an accident scene. There was a man dying, and he witnessed to the man as he was dying, and he ended up having to go to trial for it, and he was talking to the attorney that was prosecuting, and the attorney's trying to figure out, why are you even going through with this? And he shared a question with the attorney that challenged me greatly when I first heard it. And he said, someone once asked me, if you were accused of being a Christian and you had to stand trial for it, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were accused of being a Christian and you had to stand trial for that, would there be enough evidence in your life to actually convict you that, yes, you are a Christian? Because just saying I'm a Christian isn't enough. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 15, verse 8, when he was talking to the religious leaders. He said, these people, they honor me with their lips. They're saying certain things about him. But when they look at their hearts and their lives and the outflow of their hearts, they're far from him. And he wants you to acknowledge him as Lord. He wants you to follow him and to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Is the Lord truly your shepherd? And back in Psalm 23, verse 1, we continue. It says, Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Nothing. And in a moment, we'll look at some of the things a shepherd does, but I want to stop there on that part of the verse that says, I lack nothing, because you may have entered 2020 thinking that you need something additional to be added to your life. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll be fulfilled. Then 2020 will be the best year ever. If I only had that one thing, if I only had a new job, if I only had a promotion, if I only had a husband or a wife, if I only had my own home, if I only had 10 less kilograms around my waist, if I only had blank, then I could be joyful. Then I could be thankful. If I only had that one thing. And before I came to know the Lord, I spent many years of my life in America in what they call the pursuit of happiness. I didn't know the Lord. And I was fortunate to have a high-paying job, and one of my natural skills and talents was to spend money as fast as I made it. And if you follow American sports, I've been to the biggest American sporting events there are, the Super Bowl for football, NBA championship, World Series for baseball, Masters golf tournament, you name it. If you like concerts, if you know Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, I've seen them perform 67 times in concert. 67, you didn't hear me incorrectly. Usually I have to pause there because people have to let that one sit a little bit. I've been to some of the best restaurants that money could buy, New York City, Vegas, South Beach, Miami. I've been to motivational events with thousands of people where I've walked on fire, I've eaten fire. Like, I've done a lot of things, and I was always chasing the next thrill, always chasing the next rush, always trying to find that missing piece in my life that I thought if I just did one more thing, if I did this one more thing, then I would be happy. Then I would be fulfilled. I was always chasing. And here's the thing. No matter what activity I tried or experience I was part of or possession I added to my life, there was always something lacking. There was always something missing. Until 8 years ago when Christ revealed himself to me. And I made a decision to acknowledge him as Lord. I made a decision to walk away from the way I was living life, my way, to truly follow him and live the life that he wanted me to live, the way he wanted me to live it. And you see, no matter what I tried without Christ, I lacked everything. But with Christ, I lack nothing. And if you're sitting here today feeling that if you only had that one additional thing in your life, that would be the difference maker in your life, I want to tell you, if the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. If the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. Jesus speaks about this a bit in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." And he talks about worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. And then in verse 33, he says this. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And what he's saying is that everything that you need, you will have. But be very clear, God knows exactly what you need. And it might not match what you think you need. But we have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So the question then is what are you seeking first and foremost in your life? Each day as you wake up and begin your day, what is dominating your thoughts? Are you seeking him in prayer? Are you praising him for who he is, for the fact that he's adopted you as his son or his daughter? Are you meditating on his word and on his promises? Are you thinking about the day ahead and asking yourself, how can I be more Christ-like today in my actions and my attitudes towards others as I go through my day ahead? Or are you seeking first something else in the world that you believe to be lacking from your life? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Then in verse 2 and verse 3, back in Psalm 23, we read, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." He refreshes my soul. And I remember when I first started to incorporate a rhythm of rest into my life, a weekly Sabbath-type rest. And what I did at first is I would stop working. I would stop doing activities, and I would just do less. Sleep more, nap more, do less. But then what I found is I'd come out of these periods of rest, and I would be no more rested than I was before I took the rest. So I started to wonder, why am I even resting? And some of you may feel that way now as the holidays are ending. You've had weeks off from work, and now as you go back to work, you feel little to no more rested than when the holidays even began. And I was in that place in my life, and then I heard a teaching that just radically changed my perspective. And this teacher said that rest is not a physical condition. It's a spiritual condition. And I realized that if I'm just taking time off from the hustle and the bustle of this world and taking time off from doing things, taking time off from work, if I'm just doing that and I'm not also abiding in him, then I'm missing the mark, because he refreshes my soul, not merely resting physically from work and from activity. So I've realized that I need to remain in him. I need to spend time with him in prayer. I need to spend time with him engaging him in his word. I need to spend time with him in solitude. I need to be meditating on his word. I need to be trusting him with all of the circumstances in my life. Even that time that I'm choosing to rest and not doing something, I need to be trusting him that the world's not going to fall apart, that he still has it, even if I take this time of rest from my everyday activities. So the question is, are you abiding in him and allowing him to refresh your soul? Lastly, as we continue in verse 3, we read that he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Because you see, it's all for his glory. Our lives here on this earth are meant to be lived in a way that brings him glory. That's your ultimate purpose in life, to bring God glory. And earlier I asked you, where is the Lord leading you? Because we see that the Lord, as our shepherd, he will guide us along the right paths. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, we read, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And we're just 2 weeks into 2020, and this year might already not look like the way that you envisioned it or wanted it to look. If you made New Year's resolutions, they say 80% of them have failed by February. So they fail very quickly. But if you follow the Lord, he will establish your steps. And we see what that looks like when we look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, where we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. There's a right path that God wants to lead you on. Nigel, if I could use you as a visual aid. If you could just stand here and don't move, okay? So realize there's a path that God wants to lead you on. And let's say for Nigel that the point that Nigel, that God may want Nigel to get to is that exit door in the far back corner over there. That could be the point that he wants Nigel to get to. And that point could represent a number of things. It could represent the person that God wants Nigel to be in this new season of his life. That door could represent how he wants Nigel to relate to other people at this point in his life. Maybe his family, maybe the congregation, maybe coworkers. That point may represent where he wants to lead Nigel in the next activity or season or career or mission in his life. But there's a point that he wants Nigel to get to, and there's a right path that he wants him to take for his name's sake. And God will use ways to communicate that to us. There's a lot of different ways he may speak to us. So we see God's already been speaking to Nigel because Nigel's facing that way. I didn't even tell him to face that way. He started facing that way. But even just in the midst of me talking, he realized God wants him to go that direction. But Nigel's still standing here. He hasn't moved yet. And a lot of times we can even know where God wants us to go. We can see that point. God can have communicated it to us, and we can know that's where he's trying to lead us to. That's step one, just having an awareness, where is God leading you to? But then, that's when Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes in. Then we need to trust him and submit to him rather than leaning on our own understanding. Because Nigel, man, if he leans on his own understanding right now, he's going to be thinking to himself, why on earth would the Lord want me to go through that door right there? I mean, there's an open door right here. That's a closed door. Why would God be leading me in that direction? So that's one thing that would go through his understanding. And then a lot of times, we can also see some of the obstacles that may be in our way. So Nigel's looking at where he believes the Lord is leading him to, and there's a lot of people in his way right now, and people are very unpredictable. We don't know what those people are going to do when he starts walking that path. And there's chairs in his way, too. So in his own understanding, he's stuck. He hasn't moved. The Lord wants to guide him on the right path, but he's still stuck standing here, and he hasn't moved. And the Lord can't guide his path until he actually takes a step in faith, trusting him, not leaning on his own understanding, and submitting to him. Thank you, Nigel. And I don't know what that step is for you. That step might look like trusting him by seeking him first and waking up an hour earlier in the morning to spend time with him before you do anything else in your day. That might be the step for you. But in your own understanding, if you lean on your own understanding, you might say, but Pete, I don't think you understand. I couldn't even function if I had an hour less of sleep. That's what you might be saying in your own understanding. Don't hear an amen? That step might look like finally forgiving someone close to you who's hurt you because you know God's forgiven you for so much more and he's calling you to do the same for others, That might be the step for you. But again, in your own understanding, you might just say, Pete, I don't think you understand. You don't know what that person did to me. And you can lean on your own understanding. That step might look like making a big shift in the direction of your career, your schooling, your mission that the elders have come alongside and prayerfully counseled you through. But again, in your own understanding, you might be thinking 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road and seeing, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what it's going to look like in 1 or 2 years. Again, leaning on your own understanding. So I don't know what that step is for you, but the Lord does. He has a path that he wants to guide you along for his name's sake. And the Lord can only make your path straight. He can only direct your steps if you submit to him and you take one step of faith at a time, trusting him, submitting to him, letting him guide your steps, letting him guide you along that path as you seek him and as you trust him with all your heart. So we have to acknowledge him as Lord. We have to understand that in him, we lack nothing. We have to see him as our shepherd. We have to trust him with all of our heart. And we have to submit and follow him as he leads us and as he guides us. Let's all bow our hearts in prayer. As I shared this evening, some of you may be here, and it may be your first time here, it may be your 100th time in church. But as I share tonight, you may have encountered the Lord in a way that you never have before. And he may have revealed to you for the first time that he really is Lord. And what that means, because he created us, he designed us to live a certain way, to bring him glory. And none of us can do that on our own. We all fall short of his standard. The Bible says all have sinned. And you may be realizing that includes you, and you may have never understood what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ as Lord until today. But God is so loving. He is so loving that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. To pay a price that you couldn't pay on your own. To restore the relationship between you and him. That's how much he loves you. And you have an opportunity by faith to believe that. And to choose today to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To walk away from the way that you've been living life. And to surrender to him today. And choose to follow him from this day forward. I grew up in the church and I didn't know what it was all about until 8 years ago when I walked in that one day and God revealed himself to me. And that may be you today. And if that's you today, I want to give you the opportunity to make that decision and respond. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make. So if God is speaking to you and you've never made that decision before and you know that today is the day that you are going to acknowledge him as Lord and choose to follow him, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because we want to pray with you. Because this isn't the end of your journey. This is the beginning of a beautiful journey living with him, following him, knowing that you can enjoy that now until the day you get to join him in heaven. So if that's you today, and you want to make that decision, I want you to raise your hand right now so I can see it. Raise your hand right now so I can see it, and we can pray for you. Is there anyone here that wants to make that decision today? If the Lord is speaking to you, do not walk out of here without responding to him. He is Lord. Okay. Lord, I want to thank you for the reminder tonight of the fact that you are our shepherd. That living life with you, we lack nothing, Lord. That you are everything that we need. Thank you for that reminder tonight. Thank you that you are the God of peace and that you can give us your supernatural peace in the midst of life's circumstances. Even when it doesn't make sense, we can have peace from you, Lord. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you refresh our souls, Lord. And Lord, we're here. We're submitted to you. We want to follow you. We want you to lead us. We want to walk on the right paths that you have for us. For your name's sake, Lord, we want you to be glorified through each and every one of our lives, Lord. So Lord, we pray that you are glorified by this time. Lord, I pray that for each and every person here that you continue to speak to them. Allow them to hear your voice, Lord. To experience your presence. That as they draw close to you, you draw close to them as you're faithful to do, Lord. And I pray for this congregation as a body too, Lord, that each and every one of them look out for each other, encourage each other, help each other draw close to you, speak into each other's lives, worship you together. Yeah, Lord, we love you so much.